Pastor Buddy joining you live tonight right here on WWRV 3.185 Around the World Clear Channel. Glad to have you in here tonight. What's got a great message for you. Tonight's message is entitled, Can the Words of Fathers, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Israel be spiritualized away in the New Testament? We're going to cover that tonight, and it's an interesting message. I think you'll be enlightened because we're going to discuss the things that the Christian church has done in spiritualizing away a people that was chosen in the Bible, a family, if you will. And it, instead of becoming a family of people, two for and about one people, it became a universal the family in the earth by the spiritualizing and the misunderstanding of the scripture. So we're gonna talk about that. Well, call a friend and tell them that the Shepherd's Call is on the air. And tonight you can listen to us on WWRB, which now offers live streaming audio and programming. All programming broadcast on Global One is simulcast over the internet via WWRB online on radio station WWRB. And all you got to do to listen online, you'll need a media player program capable of playing streaming audio. That's all you need, ladies and gentlemen. And the most computers are already installed, the players. But if you do not have the software to listen to WWRB online, we recommend the Winamp or Media's Player. You can also use Real Player. And if you're a Mac user, you can use the VLC Media Player. So we offer a lot of convenient ways for you to listen to us tonight around the world. Anywhere you have a computer link, download. And you can listen to us on the micros. We're broadcast. We're being rebroadcast in several micro rebroadcasting systems around the nation tonight. And we appreciate those folks that do a great work in their local areas in programming and carrying Pastor Buddy and the Shepherd's Call and the feature of the gospel that we offer. Well, let's get into the message tonight. If you got your Bibles, we want you to turn into your Bibles. And by doing so, you can view the Word in the New Testament that they have spiritualized. We're going to examine those words, like I've said. But will the unfilled prophecies and promises which were made to the Hebrew people in the Old Testament, will they be fulfilled literally and to a literal flesh and blood Israel in the future, or are they being fulfilled spiritually today in every race, creed, and dogma in the world? You know, most people have got so bent out of shape with God loves everybody principle, which that's not true. If you address the scriptures of the old parchment, you say, well, we're not under. See, that's your problem, Pastor Buddy. You stay back there under that old law, glory to God, and you know that was against us and it was contrary to us. And that ain't what the Bible said. But Christ didn't say in Matthew chapter 5, verses 17 and 18, that he'd come to do away with the law, like the Christian churches have done, to spiritualize and view the Old Testament as done away with or fulfilled. So, what about the new Israel, the concept of the Christian Israel? Does the Bible teach that there is only one people of Yahweh throughout the Bible history, which goes back approximately 6,000 years? How can we answer these questions? You know, the burden's on your shoulder. The Bible said for you to see and ask for the old path, and when you find it, walk in, you find rest for your soul. You've got to study to show yourself approved. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Well, the answers to this very important question makes huge differences in our interpretation of the prophecies and the promises made to Israel throughout the Old Testament. Now, to get a handle on the subject, let's look at three passages of Scriptures which illustrate these important differences in interpretation. First, the undisputed fact that the Jews claim the name exclusively Israel. Now, what right do the Jews have? Who are the Jews? Well, you say, well, that's real simple, boy. God, I can answer that one. I don't even have to read the Bible. I've heard it all of my life. Well, that's God's chosen people. Well, ladies and gentlemen, now wait just a minute. Israel comprised itself of 13 different nations, or 13 different brothers, that Yahweh incorporated into what he called the house of Israel. The house of Judah, which has become synonymous with Jew. How is it that the Jew went over there and claimed the territory over in the Middle East? What gave them the right to give them undisputed right to the fact to claim the name Israel, when they're not Israel? They're just a 1/13th equation, if that's the true Jews, are the true. You know, if people would study, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge according to the Bible, and therefore since you reject knowledge, you see, you can tell people over and over and over and over, and it does no good because they're tuned in to the tradition or the teaching that they've heard since they were children, and their mind is so grooved in tradition or preconditioning, a preconceived set of ideals hammered into their mind since they were babes, and it's hard to teach the old dogs new tricks. But what gives the Jews the right to claim the name Israel when the Bible says in James 1:1, to the 12 tribes scattered abroad, away from that sandbox? In the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 7, verse 10, it says that after Israel was removed, that they would never return to that land. There is a people that have returned to that land, who call themselves Jews, but are not, but are liars, according to Revelations 2:9, and according to Revelations 3:9, these are liars. They're not Yahweh's people. These are actually, they're not Semites. But if you speak against them, they're going to hang that racial handle upon you, saying that you're anti-Semite, because you call them something else. Well, let's examine this. Who are those people now that are in the Palestine area called Nation of Israel since 1948? Who were they? Where'd they come from? Well, they were Eastern European Jews, mostly. And they were not Jews by race. They were Jews by religion. Now, what do you mean by that, Pastor Buddy? Well, that means that the Khazars in the 8th century adopted the Jewish religion and became known as Jews. When they actually weren't, they were Ashkenazis. They have no relationship to the house of Shem or the Shemites, which are the Israelites. And all this is so complex to the Christian who has spiritualized by taking this popular view that the names Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Israel now have the spiritual meanings in their application, and since the promises made to these fathers are supposed to now apply to those of every race, there you go now, who accept Jesus or are born again, in the popular but wrong word usage, these of every race are supposed to constitute what we know in Christianity as a church, as if it has become a new identity, and it has very subtly. This view would turn the Apostle Paul into a universalist. But Paul uses these words in a literal sense, which shows that the Apostle Paul is totally, in reference to Israel, exclusively in regard to the covenants made in the Old Testament and their fulfillment in the New Testament. Paul is not wrong, as most people are now beginning to think. It's the churches and the dogma, the false foundation, the false premises that they have established. It's the churches and the teaching that are wrong. The churches have created an illusion primarily by, number one, A, spiritualizing literal passages by saying that the church is spiritual Israel, when Israel was a flesh and blood offspring of one man, Jacob and his family. Well, how did the other races and how did the other people of the world, anything you can chase, drag, or pull onto the Christian parking lot, and all you got to do is come down and let them be save you and get born again instead of from above. Ladies and gentlemen, your racial heritage come from above. You are Yahweh's sheep from the foundation of the world. He changes not. It's two, four, and about one people and by one spirit. That spirit is a genetic application of the genes of Yahweh Himself. He is not only the offspring of Israel, He is the progenitor or the initiator of the seed of Jacob Israel. Two, four, and about one house according to the Bible. But the churches has spiritualized Israel, quoting passages out of context, comparing Paul's references to the Old Testament from the Masoretic text rather than from the Septuagint text that was in use at the time of the Messiah when he walked the earth, creating wrong meanings for words, that is, Gentiles. Strong's number 1483. It means ethnos, a people, a race. And that word has been interchanged to remove the house of Israel when it was actually talking about the house of Israel. We're going to prove that to you as we begin this series tonight. And we would like to do a two or three part series on this. So next Monday night we will continue. And by the way, we're coming to WRB exclusively with the Shepherd's Call and Pastor Buddy. Beginning in March, we will be announcing, as time goes on, both on WWRB and WWCR, which we are presently on now, we're making the transition from WWCR over to WWRB, and we're going to have more radio time on WWRB, and the services that's provided and the amenities that are offered very graciously by the staff WWRB to promote the gospel of truth. You see, ladies and gentlemen, we all know in part. Nobody knows the whole deal. It's revealed from heart to heart. But that heart has to be Jacob Israel's heart. That heart has to be a fleshly, genetic acquaintance of Yahweh. You are not my sheep, he said to those up in the universalist concept. You see, the universalist concept, if he'll take anything that you can drag, chase, or go to any nation, compass land and sea, and to make one proselyte, and the Bible says when you do, you make them twofold more than a child of heaven they were to begin with. So, ladies and gentlemen, by offering you more radio time exclusively here on WWRB, and we have both shortwave around the world, clear channel, and the reports about WWRB reception has been very positive as compared to WWCR, which is sporadic and uncertain. So I hope tonight, if you're listening to us on shortwave, you can give us a radio check and pray for us as we make the transition from WWCR over to WWRB, where we offer you more radio time or more gospel preaching. And I can do a series without losing the attention of the audience, which is intended for the sheep. And the gospel that I preach is not for the world. Love not the world, neither the things in the world. For he that loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You say, well, I thought, Pastor Buddy, that John 3:16, God so loved the world. Now, wait a minute. There's something wrong with that. That has been added to the text. It wasn't in the original oldest manuscripts to be found in the Greek writings. It's been added to the text. Yahweh would not love the world when he tells you not to love it. And then he turns around, and when he don't love it, and suggests you don't love it, but then turned around and we're made to believe that he loves it. That's universalism, ladies and gentlemen, incorporated into the doctrine or the theology of the universal Catholicism. The Church of Rome sits on seven hills, the great whore that has expanded herself into the earth with a cult of cardinals who are forbidden to marry and have created one of the greatest boondoggles. If you really check the history of their conception and what they're all about and what they stand for, you would not, even though you're a Protestant. You see, the Protestant begin to wail against the church at Rome. And out of the Protestant movement came what we know as the Lutheran theology, faith alone. Well, ladies and gentlemen, the faith without works is dead. You're going to have some Old Testament works. Now, let me remind you what the Bible said. If a man says that he loves Yahweh, or God, as the King James in era says, if a man says that he loves Yahweh and will not keep his commandments, he's a liar and the truth is not in him. So, the faith alone will not get it. Martin Luther had good intentions when he rebelled against the Catholic Church, but he rebelled against the wrong theology of the Catholic Church, and in doing so, created a false, in other words, just jumped out of the frying pan into the fire, and created more of what we call Babylon. This is the state of Christianity and its confusion and its many dogmas and doctrines that is given out, that they have spiritualized away and taken the words of Paul, which cannot be reconciled with those of the Messiah or the prophets. But if we take the time to read through the verses below that I'm going to give you, we have no option but to agree that the Apostle Paul was not a universalist. Now, I want to emphasize that Paul was not speaking in direct opposition to the command of Matthew chapter 15, verse 24. Go only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As it's recorded in the 10th chapter of the book of Matthew and the 6th verse. Ladies and gentlemen, Yahweh would not authorize a universal concept on the shoulders of the Apostle Paul, and many through wrestling with the Scriptures, especially the way that the New Testament and the English Bible has worded Paul's teaching, which he says in Colossians 2:16, let no man judge you in meat or drink, or a respect to a holy day, or a Sabbath. Well, it seems like then that Paul's saying, hey, don't let them religious Pharisees come against you and tell you you don't have to keep, tell you you have to keep the Sabbath, or you have to keep a special day or a holy day. Well, ladies and gentlemen, every day that the Messiah walked here upon the earth for 33 years, he kept the Sabbath. Well, the fourth commandment just happens to be, and remember I just quoted, he that says he loves Yahweh won't keep his commandments is a liar and the truth ain't in him. Most people don't even know when the Sabbath comes. Most people are caught up in the calendar of Catholicism. Pope Gregory introduced the final edition in the 13th century. He introduced the Gregorian calendar, and it applied a certain set of rules. It also created an imaginary dateline through the earth. This is not astronomically correct calendar. It is erred. And so then they cast away, as Daniel said in Daniel 7:25, they have thought, it's a concealed conspiracy of a whore church, a woman that sits on seven hills that has tried to draw Yahweh's people away from His laws and His covenants and His commandments and the need to worship Him and seek Him with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. Basically, all they want you to do is come and pay your indulgences or your tithes to a certain bell box establishment, and they give you a church-carrying card. Well, I'm a Lutheran, I'm a Baptist, I'm a Methodist, I'm a Pentecostal, glory to God, I'm a tongue-talking, devil-chasing, one apostolic God, apostolic believer. Well, you can go on and brag about what you are, but it's not what you are, it's what you believe and how you walk in reference to Yahweh's laws. That's what's going to judge you. In the day that Yahweh opens His book. Now, what if it's all universalism, and anything that you can chase, drag, and pull to the altar is going to be saved? What are we going to open a book in judgment for? What was that for? The Bible said the books were opened, and the people that stood before Yahweh were judged out of the things that are written in the verses. It's when we make a list of the 150, I've studied every one of these 150 New Testament verses containing the words fathers, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Israel. And you can see how all of them are used in the historical application. You only have to ask why they are not commonly accepted in the way that the New Testament uses them. There are only 19 verses that could be even remotely construed of having spiritual meaning only, or of extending the application beyond Israel. Only 19 of those that could be daringly interpreted to exclude Israel and invite someone else. You say, well, the Bible says, Mother, they said go into all the world and preach the gospel. He said going to preach to the lost sheep. Christ identified a certain people in the earth. He said, you're not my sheep. Yahweh came to redeem the genetic lineage, the literal offspring, the flesh and blood men and women that were from the bowels of Jacob, known as the lost sheep now of the house of Israel. That's who He's coming for. That's what the gospel is written to, for, and about. The Bible was written to a people. that loved the name of Yahweh, that thought on His name, and yet wandered around and forgot it, and began to drift away, but in the last days would return. By using Gunneman, the churches try to sway you that Yahweh wants to save every man, woman, and child in the world. But he didn't want to save Esau. Oh, you say that's just an exception, an isolated case. Well, let's go to Cain. Did Cain have any appearance before Yahweh? Did he get any sympathy? No, you know why? Because he was a genetic offspring of the devil. Yahweh's not, he didn't come to save the devil, and neither did he come to save the literal offspring of the devil. You say, I didn't know he had any. I just thought that it only has a spiritual meaning, or, you know, we could extend this to a spiritual application beyond the bloodline of Jacob. Well, ladies and gentlemen, there is an author, and he wrote a book that I have studied for a long time, and it's The Exclusiveness of Israel. It is recommended to you tonight by this preacher that you get this book, The Exclusiveness of Israel, and read the entire list and mark those few verses that could have spiritual connotations and universalism as compared to the other 131 that is promises made to the fathers. Well, listen, the devil is a father and the devil has children. You say, well, I don't believe that. Well, John 8:44, Christ the Messiah said, your father is the devil. You say, well, we're just talking spiritually, Pastor Buddy. Oh, really? Well, then, why would Cain come into the earth and marry and build cities and multiply and have children? And then you say, somewhere along the line, Jesus died for everybody, and now He's going to incorporate the seed of Cain back into the kingdom. Ladies and gentlemen, if you believe that, you have been deceived by the crafty, the subtle deceiver, the Satan himself, who has made you think that Satan and his seed can be saved. Well, you say, well, buddy, what about the offspring? Well, let's look at the word children. Where children is mentioned, it means offspring of someone. Now, Jacob's offspring was incorporated as the sheep. Satan's offspring was incorporated as the children of darkness versus the children of light, or the children of right and the children of wrong. The tares and the wheat scenario. This is in metaphorically a place in your thought process for you to receive, and yet we come into the New Testament, we throw all of this away, we throw all the examples of 150 or so verses show that Israel as a people is still very exclusively in the sight of Yahweh. There is no place for a mixture or a spiritual Israel and for a natural Israel to coexist. Our unchanging Yahweh could not have changed from the time when He said in Exodus 3:15, listen to me as I read, and Yahweh said, moreover unto Moses, thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, Yahweh, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, hath sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. I am that I am, the causative verb, to be to a people. You are my children. Yahweh commanded His children, the seed of Jacob, to be exclusively separated from the other seeds of the earth. You say, well, today we don't matter because Jesus come to shed His blood for everybody. Glory to God, shouldn't I? And we've got just such a wonderful missionary spirit, Pastor Buddy. We take up a Sunday offering every time we meet, and that's for the foreign mission fields when we go into Africa and to out all the world's nations, and we incorporate these lost souls. Who said they was lost? You see, ladies and gentlemen, you're only lost to those who Yahweh said was lost. You say, well, Pastor Buddy, that what you're saying is that you don't have a chance if you're not Yahweh's seed. Well, that's exactly what I'm saying. Let me give you an example. In the book of Romans, chapter 8 and 9, this is the two principal chapters that I'll be focusing in the series here that I'm beginning on the exclusiveness of Israel and the misunderstanding of the words. Now, let me show you. Matthew 22, verse 32. Let me give you the scripture here. Now, listen to me very closely. In Matthew chapter 22, verse 32, I am the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. Now, what did he mean by that? Living genetics of a chosen through grace. You see, Esau was rejected. Jacob was accepted. Ladies and gentlemen, there's been a struggle for genetic superiority. And since we've come into this, we are the world, universalism, that God loves everybody, and whether you be Muslim, whether you be Jew, whether you be Catholic, whether you be Baptist, it doesn't matter, they say. Whether you be black, whether you be white, whether you be red, whether you be green, Martian, they'd even say the green Martians, if there's any such thing. If they came, the Christian church would try to save the green Martians. Matter of fact, they would say the devil himself. And unbeknownst to them, Satan has really infiltrated the church, the Christian church. They are now promoting homosexuality. The church is not speaking out against it. It's lost its voice. Somebody's pulled the teeth of the church, the Christian church, because it's you know, it's just like you're sour grapeing when you preach against homosexuals. What's wrong with homosexuals? God loves everybody, Pastor Buddy. Well, when you preach against sin, and sin is the art of missing the mark, only those to whom the mark is upon. And you say, oh now there you go, Pastor Buddy. I just don't believe that God is going to brand His people, and they're a certain group or an ethnic group, a people in the earth that there's not like the rest of the world because God loves everybody. Well, why then did He say for Israel to remain exclusive Israel and not to mix and mingle, marry, or make marriages with the foreigners or the people outside the nation of Israel at the time that they were incorporated in boundaries as the people of Yahweh? And the reason that they lost their borders, the reason that they opened their borders, the reason that they crossed their borders, the reason that they went wandering among the heathen, the Gentiles, I'm talking about the sheep now, is because they wanted to be like the heathen or the Gentiles, and Yahweh gave them up to a reprobated mind to believe the lie and be damned and scattered them through the earth, but then reconciled through the Messiah. When He came, He said, I am sent only. Now listen to me well here tonight. I am sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Only. Exclusively. And so then, when a man or woman is honestly mistaken, and then they hear the truth, they will either quit being mistaken, or they will cease to be honest. Now, ladies and gentlemen, could I make it any more plainer than that? Let us look at the New Testament now. Look at the the verses containing the word father, look them up, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Israel, to see if anything really has changed in the New Testament as it was to the Old Testament, and then you make your own judgment. A brief comment of the present identity of Israel is made here tonight by your pastor telling you that the critical words that we're going to highlight in bold print is that the New Testament containing the word Father, meaning fathers of Israel, that is in all the King James references that I have read here and researched and looked up, 150 of them in the New Testament, is all pertaining to Israel. No other nationality, no other ethnic group, no other religious body was to be incorporated into it. But people, well, let's go here to Luke. Let me give an example. 1:17, Luke. And he shall go, that's the witness John, the immerser, and he shall go before him, that's the Messiah, in the spirit and power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers, there you go, to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for Yahweh. And if you go to Malachi chapter 4, verse 1, it said, behold, the great notable day when Yahweh will come and turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. But ladies and gentlemen, the hearts of the fathers are hardened. They wanted to be like the heathen and became like the heathen, thought like the heathen. And when you lay down with the dogs, you're going to naturally get up with the fleas. And that's what happened to Israel. They begin to wonder. They begin. That's why they're called lost. But in Luke 1:72 or 1:55, it is again referenced that he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. In the 12th chapter of the book of Genesis, and the 15th chapter and the 17th chapter, we have Yahweh establishing his covenant with one man, Abraham, one offspring, Isaac. In Isaac shall the seed be called, not in Abraham, because Abraham had many seeds, but only one, the Shemite seed, from the Noah side of Shem, not the Ashkenazis, who now are parading around pretending that they themselves are Jews when they are not, but are liars according to the Messiah. There was a people that killed the Messiah here in Luke 1:72. I am going to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant. Right there it is. Now, you got to go back to the book of Genesis chapter 12 to remember that covenant. To his seed, to the offspring, and to those people only am I sent, the Messiah said, to open up a prison, to give light to them that set in darkness, to perform the mercy promised, and to remember the Holy Covenant. There it is, ladies and gentlemen. A generation of people that Yahweh chose for himself. But as it says in Luke 6:26, listen as I read. Woe unto you, when all men shall speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. What about the people today? Oh, if you're a big first this, second this, or you are a big preacher, especially if you can get on television and make your name, and you can sway people or blow people down with your healing abilities or some great wonder and sign that you've been gifted to perform. Did you know that Satan can endow you with the art and the performance of miracles and signs and wonders, even so to deceive the very elect if it was possible? And that's what we're up against today, is because a great establishment of deception is permeating through the Christian church to tickle their ears. What's it say here? So did their fathers to the false prophet. they spoke well of the false prophets and killed every prophet, including John, that I just mentioned here. And Luke 1:17, they killed him. Why would they hate the true prophets and idolize and make or elevate these false prophets as their fathers did? That's the fathers of Israel, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about the exclusive of Israel when they themselves spoke well of the false prophets. Oh, it's all right for us to go over here and mix and get children. I ain't nothing wrong with that. It's all right for us to keep Easter and Halloween. Glory to God. Ain't nothing wrong with that. That old pastor buddy, glory to God, every time Christmas comes around, he just starts preaching against Christmas. Every time that the Passover comes around, he wants to kill the lamb. Oh, that's awful. I never heard of such a thing. Glory to God. And I'd rather go over here and eat swine's flesh. Oh, we've got a ham bacon over here for Easter Sunday, and I'm going to put on my best, my bonnet, and I'm going to get some Easter eggs of the fertility god. And I'm going to go over here and worship at this temple of the Baal Church. Ladies and gentlemen, our fathers did eat manna, John 6:31. Woe unto you. Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, but as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat, but they are dead. John 6:49, your fathers did eat the manna in the wilderness and are dead. John 7:22, Moses therefore gave unto you circumcision, not because it was of Moses, but of the fathers. Are you listening? And on the Sabbath day, to circumcise the man, proving to you that Christ, in Luke chapter 4, verse 16, as his custom was, entered into the Sabbath, read the Scriptures, and there healed a man on the Sabbath day, which was a circumcision day, proving to you it was the eighth day. So, ladies and gentlemen, you're going to have to get your spiritual noodle working. You're going to have to come out from among the dead. You're going to have to quit eating the bread of deception and deceit by the sly, cunning craftiness of these ministers that are very smooth speech and enticing words, and get down to where an old rough hillbilly plowboy. Ladies and gentlemen, I came out of the fields down here in the mountains of East Tennessee, following the broomtails. I have plowed back in the 40s and the 50s, following the plow. Never did make over $20,000 a year in my whole life at the best I could do. I've just been a poor Tennessee plowboy. And Yahweh gave me the ability through fasting and praying to come into the knowledge that I'm hated for. I could have stayed in the movement that I was in. I was well loved. I was well received. There was miracles and signs and wonders, but it was all in a false name to a false god in tradition worship, going from season to season to season. And I got so tired of the traditions of will worship, which indeed has a show of godliness, but it denies the power of the ethics of a particular people that Yahweh chosen. And the more I fasted, the more I prayed, the more I drew near unto Yahweh, the more I was hated and rebuffed for the gospel that I began to preach on the streets of New Tazewell in 1963. My first message preached on the streets of New Tazewell. And from that day, I begin to seek earnestly, Acts 3:13, listen, the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, the God of our fathers, a genetic seed line, the father's heir, the father's sinned, and the sons followed suit. They all begin to be given up to a reprobated mind. And they were turned out into the world and became known as lost sheep. And the world now knows them as Gentiles. And now it's in two corporations. that Satan has maneuvered and manufactured a false concept that the Jews, you're either Jewish or you're a Gentile. Ladies and gentlemen, that is false premises. That is false understanding. If you are a Semite, if you are a bloodline of Jacob, Israel, if you are genetically attached to your father, the house of Israel, the lost sheep, all the promises is given to you. And those who claim to be Jews and are not, but are liars. For Acts 3:22, for Moses said unto the fathers, a prophet shall Yahweh raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall you hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. You are the children of the prophets, and the covenant which Yahweh made with our fathers. Ladies and gentlemen, we're still under a covenant, even into the book of Acts. We are being admonished to remember the covenant and to remember that we're children of the prophets. And of the covenant which Yahweh made in the 12th chapter of Genesis. We are a special people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation of genetic people that is exclusively, because the potter says to the clay, why have you made me this? You've rejected me. You've made me this race, and you rejected me, and yet you accepted the seed of Jacob. Why did you do that for? I'm against you, God. You're not a loving God. I don't like the God of the Old Testament, but I just love sweet Jesus. Brought to you courtesy of the Catholic Church, a manufactured name of blasphemy, a name of falsehood. You see, ladies and gentlemen, Yahweh didn't lose His identity from the Old Covenant to the New. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and His name never was Jesus. That's Greek Latin. That's given to us courtesy of the Catholic Church, the whore that sits on seven mountains in the book of Revelation 17. I feel the anointing tonight, ladies and gentlemen. If I had about 2 or 3 hours, I could really get into this and preach up. You see, a good working meals, they couldn't work till they broke a sweat, and they got the foam and the sweat under the collar, and boy, they could bring it on. They got in a rhythm, and you could just plow all day. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's the same way with preaching the gospel. When you get stirred up below the collarbone, and you begin to froth at the mouth, ladies and gentlemen, you begin to have so many words coming to your understanding and all those things that are to your remembrance. You feel so full and your cup's running over. You just can't hardly control it and contain it. Acts 5:30. The God of our fathers, who raised up the Messiah, Yahweh, Yeshua, whom you slew and hanged on a tree. Oh my. Acts 7:11. Now there came a famine over the land of Egypt and Canaan, and great affliction. And our fathers found no substance. They had to go and beg it from the hand of Joseph, who Yahweh had positioned to be there, a type of the Messiah and a birthright child of the King. Oh my. Yes, I feel like preaching tonight because I feel the anointing of the Most Holy. Acts 7:19. The same dealt very evil with our kindred, and evil entreated our fathers, so that they cast out their young children to the end, that they would die and not live. There is a people that wants you to die and not live. If they can miscegenate your seed, if they can destroy your genetics, they want your purity, they want your innocence, they want what you've got, and the devil will mix and mingle his seed into you, just like he did into the house of Israel as they come out of Egypt in the book of Exodus chapter 12, verse 38, where a mixed, mingled seed multitude began to murmur and complain that came out of the land of Israel or Egypt into the promised land of Israel. These same people now are known as Jews. The same people, these mixed race, these anti-Semitics in truth, but they claim to be Semitic, and if you speak against them, they'll say, oh, you're just against the Jewish race. There's no such thing. ladies and gentlemen, except Israel is the race of genetics of Jacob. Jacob wasn't a Jew. Abraham wasn't a Jew. I'd give $10,000 for anybody to prove that Jacob was a Jew or Abraham was a Jew. Neither one of them was a Jew. And the Messiah was not a Jew, and I've got $5,000 to prove, if you can prove he was. He wasn't a Jew. You see, Jew is synonymous with Judah or Yahuda. Yahuda is 1/13 of the equation, as Israel is comprised of 12 original tribes, one adopted, which was Benjamin, along with, or Manasseh, along with the house of Joseph, which was split into two houses, made 13 tribes, and to those 13 tribes of Acts 7:44, our fathers had the tabernacle of witness to this in the wilderness, and as he hath appointed, speaking unto Moses, that we should make it according to the fashion that we had seen, which is also present today in us, that we should return to the old path and seek him, and walk into his light, and receive the glorious anointing gospel that is given unto those that know the truth and are separated from the filth and the trash and the miscegenated seeds. I suggest that you turn to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 7, if you want to see how exclusively Yahweh was in keeping his children pure, his bloodline pure. What was the reason of Yahweh wanting to keep his bloodline pure? Because he himself was the progenitor of this precious bloodline. Adam himself was a son of Yahweh. Offspring. That is, offspring. Literal offspring. The sons of Adam still exist today through the house of Shem, a chosen covenant people who are now scattered abroad and lost. And that's why that the Shepherd's Call ministry was chosen and given the mission. And Yahweh, when I was fasting and praying, Yahweh said, call your ministry the Shepherd's Call. I will make you a shepherd to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Oh, how I feel His presence and anointing of that covenant tonight bubbling up inside my soul. I feel humbled at the reality of being a child of the King. How precious it is. I don't take it as an idle thing. I don't offer it to anyone except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. This message is too for and about the people of Israel, the one sheep of His choice. Ladies and gentlemen, Yahweh is coming soon, and that for a purpose. I'll finish up next Monday night here on WWRB 3.185 as we do a two-part series. And if Yahweh's willing, we'll do a three-part, which is normally what I do in three parts. But if we can wrap this up in the next hour, next Monday night, you don't want to miss it. Stay tuned for the message that we will have, part two, of the exclusiveness of Israel, a covenant people called by His name. In Revelations 22:4, only, now here's the exclusiveness. Here's the New Testament teaching. Only those who had the name of Yahweh. And folks, I am not making no apologies for this. I preach it boldly. I come into the grace plan boldly. I stand on this foundation. I shall not be moved. I have done my homework for over 55 years of praying and fasting and seeking Yahweh, laying in the caves and the mountains, following the broomtails and thinking about these things. And now that Yahweh has anointed me in my last days to preach the gospel to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, next Monday night, exclusive of Israel, part two. You don't want to miss it. Now, next Sunday night, I'll be live, and I always do my messages live. Very seldom ever use a tape unless something happens and it's beyond my control. I like to be right here live with you. And today, ladies and gentlemen, is Monday, February the 2nd. So then we're live and up to date with the message of the hour, and that is the exclusiveness of Israel. I want to impart this to you. that Yahweh is the potter and you're just the clay. And the clay cannot respond or ask the potter why you have made me this. Yahweh has got a people in the earth that are called by his name. Revelation 22 and 4 said, everyone that went in the 12 gates is only 12 gates, and those 12 gates is for the exclusiveness of the entrance into that city, which is the 12 tribes of Jacob Israel, now moving into the kingdom principles of truth and revelation, and you can't go unless you keep his commandments and you love him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, as it's recorded in Mark 12, 28 and 29. That's the covenant key, ladies and gentlemen, to love Yahweh. If a man says he loves him and he won't keep his commandment, and if he tries to spiritualize and do away with the literal offspring of Yahweh, you might find yourself in a church tonight and you're lost and you're hearing this message for the first time. This is the shepherd calling for the sheep. My sheep will hear my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I've got to get out of here, and we hope and trust that you will be back with us next Sunday night live on WWCR. We're going to be wrapping up our message on WWCR. We've been there for years, ladies and gentlemen, preaching the gospel. But we have been given the privilege to move over to WWRB. They've made available radio time exclusively for the Shepherd's Call and Pastor Buddy. And I do have respect for all of the people that I preach to. I'm not here to offend anyone. I don't want to offend anyone. I want to preach the gospel. But if it cuts to the bone, you see, the Bible says that the truth hurts. And not many people are in love for the truth. But if you've got a love for the truth, you want to know the truth, stay tuned to Pastor Bud and Shepherd's Call here on WWRB. I'll be back next Monday night at 9 Eastern Standard Time, 8 Central, around the world. Give me a radio check tonight. You can call me, area code 423-626-2172. That's area code 423-626-2172. Well, ladies and gentlemen, Yahweh, being the king of the universe that he is, if you'd like to write me, you can write me tonight. Just simply address your cards and letters to Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee. Now that's Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. I'll get your letter. If you have any requests for any of the information that I've got, I'll be so happy and glad and privileged to send it to you. If you love us, send us a tithe and offering to keep our voice loud and clear here on Clear Channel 3.185 shortwave around the world on the transmitting Jewel of the South. I'll be with you there with you each week here on WWRB, starting in February, exclusively the Shepherd's Call on WWRB. Yahweh, pray for us. Send us tithe and offering if you can, if you can afford it, in these hard times when we're in depression times. Ladies, gentlemen, you haven't seen anything yet. Times are going to get bad, but when the going gets tough, that's when the tough get going. I like people that are sheep. They're not goats. They don't murmur and complain. I know it says that, but they'll say, if you can read it, I believe it, and bring it on. Yahweh bless you. I'll see you next Sunday night on WWCR. Yahweh bless you. Did they say,